Escape to the exotic beauty of Morocco with our exclusive small group tours. Experience intimate group sizes that ensure personalized attention and unforgettable adventures. From the enchanting streets of Marrakech to the serene beauty of the Sahara Desert. Forge friendships that last a lifetime while immersing yourself in Morocco's rich culture, vibrant traditions, and warm hospitality. Book your small group tour with Destination Morocco today. Experience the intimacy of a private tour at an affordable price. Go to our website, destinationsmorocco.com, that's destinations with an S, morocco.com, and reserve your spot today. Welcome to the Destination Morocco podcast, the show that takes you away to the beautiful country of Morocco. I am your host, Azzedine El Moustakim. In each episode, we explore Moroccan culture, history, attractions, and activities. Real and practical information coming from experienced travelers and native Moroccans like myself. And now, let's go exploring.
Okay, well, we're going to have some fun today. So we thought we'd focus today's session on what we're calling essentially lesser known sites in Morocco. Getting off the tourist path type thing. People get send us questions about this from time to time. Well, what else can I see? Maybe they've already been, or maybe, you know, they want to see some of the famous things to see as you do, but maybe they want to try to see something else or get off where there's not quite as many of the crowds and maybe be getting the chance to see something that other people haven't seen or don't get to see as much, if that's the type of like traveler that you are. And the great thing, of course, with your tours, very customizable. People can easily ask to, you know, add a different kind of attraction. And a bit of it depends on logistics, I think, you know, how far you might have to drive and how it fits in. But a lot is certainly possible. And what we're going to do today is a little bit of a combination of some things that, some ideas you guys will share, things you can see if you're already in a city. So if you're in Fez, Rabat, Marrakesh, and the point with that being that that's a bit easier, you know, to maybe go and see a museum for an hour or two. It's not a long drive, right? You can probably squeeze that in. But we'll also talk about some places that are further out in the countryside, in nature, mountains, and stuff like that. That would take a little bit more organization for sure, but I'm sure you guys can integrate that at least with enough, notice and planning. So it's really a chance for our listeners and people to start making a list and come back to you guys with, yeah, here's some ideas. I heard it on that show that you guys did, and I'd like to go and check that out. So that's what we're going to focus on today.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
That's good. Now we're going to do some fun screen sharing here too to help us navigate. So let me pull this up. So these are our list of lesser-known sites to visit in Morocco. What else can we do here? Oh, nice little banner. There we go. So, I mean, we're going to start with the north, then start moving south. So the north, well, you can see Fez around that area, I think, Chef Chaouen. Then heading south, Rabat, down towards Marrakesh, and out to Merzouga. And that's the kind of itinerary that we'll generally follow, the route, and we'll try to pull up some maps here as well and find some of these places. So this is the point where I start to defer, of course, to you guys, because you're the experts. So you gave us this list, and you can explain what some of these places are. So if we're in the north, I think you mentioned this maybe on an episode or two, but the Achour Waterfalls. Can you tell us a bit about what that is and where it is?
Okay. The Achour Waterfalls is located in the outskirts of Chef Chaouen. It's about, I would say, about an hour, 15 minutes or so drive in the Rif, inside the Rif Mountains. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful site, and it's a really, really very scenic drive. The Rif Mountains, they don't look nothing like the Atlas Mountains. They are very beautiful, really, really nice. And then the Achour Waterfalls, it's a big site. It's a really, really, really big site. And it has parts, or if you would, portions. So for a lot of people, like this one, the one that you're showing, this is very easy. Mm-hmm. The hike is not really that hard. It's not difficult. And most people can enjoy it. But then there's the little bit of rocky, a little bit more dangerous or it's, you need to have a lot more experience, because those rocks, they can be slippery sometimes, and you have to have the right gear. So this, what you're showing right here on the left-hand side, it's really, really nice, and this is the first part. You can you can do it. Anybody can do it. They can come in here. They can enjoy it. But then for the thrill seekers, you know, they want to go see the God's Gates, which is the last part, or the last destination, if you would, in the waterfalls, which is it's about an hour and a half hike. It's very tricky, a little bit dangerous, not recommended for everybody. And this is one of the ways to do it. This is the short way to do it. The other way to do it is, it's a 3 to 4 hour hike, and you go on the back end of it. And the hike is not difficult, but it's lengthy, so it's going to take you some time to get to it. It is definitely worth it, and definitely recommended. But it just depends on who's going, who's traveling. If it's youngsters, if it's teenagers, people in their 20s, 30s, 40s. Then when you look at the 50s and above, then you really, really have to proceed with caution, because it can be really dangerous. And that's what we noticed when we visited Akshore. We went all the way to the God's Gate. Imran was with us and his 8-year-old kid. And it was challenging. It was even challenging for me, you know, to walk through those rocks. And I've seen some kids, you know, 18, 20, they fly. I mean, it's just like, wow. It must be nice, but for me, it was a bit challenging.
Is it a lot of uphill and up and down and climbing?
Yeah,
and stuff?
There's definitely uphill. Yes, uphill, downhill, and there's no restrooms, so just prepare. So
So this gives you a sense of where it is. You can see Chef Shawin's here. How far is that outside of Chef Shawin then?
I would say about an hour, 15 minutes.
15 minutes drive.
Okay. So if people wanted to go, in all out of your tours, you stay overnight in Chef Shawin, so maybe they could request to do that for, I guess it depends how much hiking they want to do. Is half a day enough? Do you need like a full day?
Oh, you definitely need a full day, Ted. But also I want to ask Sam for his recommendations as well, please.
Yeah, and I want to ask, because many people, they just stay, for example, for 2 nights or spend 2 days in Chef Shawin. Chef Shawin, you can do it like for a half day. So if you arrive in the afternoon, you can do Chef Shawin. The city tour of Chef Shawin, it takes like between 2 to 3 hours, more than enough to explore Chef Shawin. Then the rest of the next day, for example, you don't need to stay in Chef Shawin for a full day doing nothing. So I suggest to go to Akshore Waterfalls. And it's amazing, especially for, as Tim mentioned, for sports people, for example, for under 50s, for example, they can just walk to reach the bridge, because there is a natural bridge on the top of the waterfalls, where you can enjoy an amazing and breathtaking view from the above of the bridge.
Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that's the exact same thing we did. We did 2 days. We did a city tour. But the thing that I have to add, you know, Chef Shawin during the day is very different than the night. So you really have to see Chef Shawin by night as well. And that's what we were very lucky. We made a lot of memories. I mean, I still remember, you know, there you go. Yeah. That's the God's Bridge.
That's the bridge. Yeah.
We had some snails. It sounds kind of yucky, but that's, you know, in our culture, snails are really, really popular. So, and for us, it was just, you know, childhood memories. And that's, you know, we did so many stops. The street food was incredible. We stopped at the guy with, you know, the crepes, if you remember, with the bananas.
Yes. Amazing.
Yeah.
It's totally different than the day.
So, Shoshone by night is just, it's incredible. It's a fun city. It's a very festive city. And I think by coincidence, there was a music festival that we went in and we watched for a little bit. And it was a lot of fun. We filmed it as well. And it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a couple more of these. We'll have to see where they are. So there's Moulay Idriss Zarhoun.
Yes. Moulay Idriss Zarhoun. This is really, really, really important religious site for Moroccans. And it's a small village in the hills, in the outskirts of Fez. Moulay Idriss Zarhoun, it's definitely a must see. Must stop, and I'll talk about it in one way, then Sam will talk about it in a different way, more more intricate, more a little bit more historical. I remember when we made the stop at Moulay Idriss Zerhoun, it feels, I'm going to just say it, it's kind of a little bit weird, but it feels like Fresno, California for me. I mean, that's okay. The feeling that I had. You know, it was just laid back city. The food was incredible. The people were nice. And it just felt like, you know, like you're in a village. Very pretty, very nice. The food was amazing. The attitude, the atmosphere was incredible. So
right. It was I remember this.
Yes.
Yeah. We didn't go there, but it's near Valdivitas. And when you go to Valdivitas.
That's right. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah.
Kind of looking city on this hill, this mound, right? And that's it. Right. Distance in the side of a hill. Yeah, it's cool.
This is in green is the shrine of Moulay Idriss first.
Yeah. The founder of FES.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
It seems pretty small, isn't it? Basically that's the town, the city, like just on top of this hill?
Yes.
Or does it spread out more?
Small. Yeah, it is pretty small.
It's very small. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can drive to the top of the hill and you can stop the car. There is a parking. This is the last driving point.
Yeah.
And then you can walk through the small, at least to visit, for example, the stream is from outside, by the way. Except during the summertime, there is a festival of Moulay Idriss first, or Moulay Idriss Zerhoun.
Yeah.
Or you can, for example, for the people visiting Morocco during summertime, they can enjoy the festival. There is so many things to see and to discover there. Also, this is the place where Moulay Idriss, when he came to Morocco from, when he escaped from the Caliphate, the Umayyad Caliphate, and he moved to Morocco, this is the place where he stayed before he founded Fez. Because why he took this place? Because of the fertile land near the Volubilis. And the top, on the top hills, because he escaped from the attacks of the Umayyad dynasty at that time.
Yes.
Yeah, you can see that in some of these pictures. Like I remember quite green hills.
Yeah, that's the pictures, when you drive, you're going to see it on your right-hand side. It is a breathtaking, just like this. And then you see the bottom of the hill, you see the wildlife, you see the forest. It's just incredible the way that it sits on the top of that hill.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a must-see. So this is a very popular religious site for Moroccans.
Okay, I see. All right. So that's got to be something it's so close to Valdivitas. If you're going there anyway, Meknes.
10 kilometers from Volubilis. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And next we have Asila.
Asila is a small coastal city built by the Portuguese.
Oh, yeah.
It's very laid back. It reminds me a little bit of Essaouira, but it's different than Essaouira. Essaouira seems a little bit high, if you know what I mean, than Asila. So it's definitely worth it. It's very close to Tangier as well. It's a beautiful city, very laid back, relaxed.
That looks nice.
Yeah.
So Asila, or it's called in Berber Azila. It's a Berber word, which was Azila or Azili, which is a coastal place area in local language, in Berber language. By the way, it's founded 1500 before Christ by the Phoenicians. When they were in Morocco, they took it to place for their commerce. And then they occupied by the Portugal for like a century, from 1471 to 1580. And then when the dynasty of Alawite came by Muhammad ibn Abdullah, he took it back from the Portuguese. And if you are interested in the galleries and you want to take amazing pictures, especially it's amazing, especially the galleries inside the Medina and the painted walls, especially in blue and white. Also, if you want, for example, during the summertime, for the beaches there is just amazing. It's very clean. Small city, you can do like a city tour in an hour to 2 hours, enough to discover the old Medina or the city of Azila or Asila.
Right. Is that a reasonable stopover then if you're coming maybe from Tangier, you're heading from back Tangier. South towards...
Yes, it's 19 kilometers, by the way. It's 19 kilometers from Tangier. It took like 40 minutes to drive.
Oh, okay.
That's more or less. Yeah.
And also I remember last summer when we visited, I mean, people were extremely hospitable. We were walking late at night. The streets are safe. Everywhere you go is safe. People were very hospitable. We had some really, really good food at a very nice popular restaurant. So we really had a good time. We enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, let's see. We had some sites in Fez. Maybe we can touch on these quickly. The idea being if you're already in Fez, right, and these could be things you could, you know, pop into for an hour or two if that's the case. But what have we got here? There's a gardens, it looks like. The Jardin Jeannin Spiel.
Yeah, Jeannin Spiel, yes. Yeah, Fez is just, it's a really, really amazing city. There's so many things to see. So when we said 3 days, 4 days, it's beyond incredible. So, and this list is really short, but there's so much more to see in Fez. So some are popular, some are not popular, but these are the ones that a lot of people miss, you know, when they visit Fez.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Because Fez is not like Marrakech. There is no lot of gardens, like, for example, Marrakech or Rabat, for example. Fez, this is one of the best places where you can hang out or relax if you have, like, free time, especially after the city tour in the afternoon. You can go there just to hang out.
And it doesn't even feel like Fez.
Yeah.
Right. So it's here, just kind of... I guess the edge of the old city, essentially.
Yes, it nicks the walls of the old city. Yeah.
Right.
But also, just to give people a Jeannin, what does Jeannin mean? Jeannin means courtyard. It means garden, big garden. It means, you know, so that's what Jeannin means. Greenery, you know, vegetation. So Jeannin means, you know, like a big space of trees.
Okay. Huh. So. I see. Now we had Azrou. Is that a city?
Yes. Azrou. Azrou in Amazigh means rock. In my Amazigh, I'm not sure what, you know, Sam's Amazigh.
Yeah, that's right. It's same Azrou, stone or rock. Yeah.
So this is a bit south of Fez.
Yes.
I think one hour and a half drive from Fez. Actually.
Mm-hmm. And also, when we talk about Azrou, it's the same in a lot of the tours that we do. Going from Fez to Merzouga, we break in Midlet, and we pass through Ifrane, and then we pass through Azrou. And this is well known for the monkeys. So a lot of people, they just take a little break. They feed the monkey, monkeys take pictures with them, and it's really popular site, very crowded. But this one is the lesser known sites. So, and it's definitely worth it.
I feel you talked about this forest too, the cedar forest.
Exactly. Yeah, Gorod Forest, where there is like 500 old cedar forest trees, and the wild Barbary macaque, which is one the monkeys, is called macaque, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can meet them and feed them if you want. Yeah, this is depends on.
Yeah.
And you can have a horse ride as well.
Exactly. Yes.
If you're interested in a horse ride,
Okay. So that's good. Yeah, all these things are fairly close to Gadifran and the forest, Azrou. So, I mean, maybe that's a day trip from Fez, or maybe you're heading that way anyway.
It could be
it's kind
both.
Of a different route, because a lot of people, you take them on the expressway, right? But if you were to go kind of this way to Marrakesh, let's say, then... bit longer, but you see some things along the way.
Yeah, when you see it here, when you look at Fez, and you can see it on top, and then Ifrane, and then down to the right, you'll see Midlet. So Midlet, that's where we'll stop on the way to the desert.
Nice.
Yes, because it's a long drive to do it in one drive. Yeah. So in Midlet, you know, on the way, there's so many places that we stop, and this is one of them. So there's some sites that are really popular, and some sites that are really unknown to the tourists, but they are really popular amongst the locals. So, and this is one of them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay, we're straying a bit from Fez. There's a couple more things I think we wanted to possibly do. Mishlifen, is that, what's the story of that?
Mishlifen is a place, a ski station, and there is a beautiful resort there, which is called also Mishlifen. Mishlifen Resort is one of beautiful five-star resorts in Ifrin. Okay. Yeah, right. Ifrin is a small, clean city and one of the expensive cities in Morocco, by the way. This is why it's called Small Switzerland of Morocco. Yeah, because the land there is very expensive. Sometimes it reaches like $10,000 for a meter square. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it's very expensive.
Oh, and here's a ski resort. I see.
That's right, ski resort.
Yeah, okay. So that, again, it's all in that same basic area.
Yeah, so you can do it for, like, for example, if when you have, like, when you stay in Fez, for example, for 2 days, 3 days, if you don't do, for example, you can do a day trip to Mykines Volubilis, or you can do a day trip to Chefchaouen, or you can do, like, a combine of Azrou and Ifrin and come back to Fez in the afternoon, because it's not far from Fez,
Yeah, that's true. That's a good idea. Because, yeah, it's pretty similar. You know, Meknes, Volubilis around here. Or go down here. It's about the same distance, relatively.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And through the road, there is, for example, Eitzfeld. There is, for example, in Schaff, there is a forest there and the villages where you can take photos, enjoy your time. And yeah, there's many stops. It's not like just driving.
Close your eyes and imagine the warm desert breeze kissing your skin as you wander through the narrow streets of Marrakesh. Feel the excitement as you lose yourself to the vibrant colors of the souks, where every corner holds a treasure waiting to be discovered. Experience the thrill of adventure as you traverse the majestic Sahara Desert on a camelback, with nothing but endless dunes stretching before you. Experience Morocco. Feel alive. Get 15% off all small group tours. Visit our website, destinationsmorocco.com. That's destinations with an S, morocco.com. Use the word 15 as a discount code at checkout and reserve your spot today.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, let's see. We had, what's the next one here? Dayat Awa?
Dayat Awa. Dayat Awa is a lake or dam near, it's the opposite road from Sfro. If you go to, for example, you leave Fez like the outside of the city of Fez, there is two roads. One, they take you to Ifrin, and another one, they take you to Sfro and then to Dayat Awa.
Oh, down around here, Sfro.
Yes, yeah.
But also, if, for example, when we talk about Sfro, which is this is a popular destination for locals, for Moroccans, for tourists not so much. But it's a very small city, well known for its festival, I believe, cherry festival.
Cherry,
Then tree. They choose a queen, which is the queen of cherry, once a year. Yep. But also, it's a very rich city when it comes to Jewish culture and heritage and history.
That's right. Yes.
So, again, this is really popular amongst the locals, but not in terms of popularity with the tourists. So the thing that I wanted to add to this topic that we're discussing today, when we look at, for example, the U.S. market, when we look at, you know, the itineraries that are being created, and this is, you can see that's the, you know,
those cherries. Are the cherries.
So the best ones in Morocco are from Sfro. And then when we look at the popular itineraries, those they don't represent not even 15 or 20% of the possibilities of things to do and see in Morocco. You know, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in details down the list, because just because one itinerary is popular and that's what everybody wants to see, but they're really leaving so much more that they can see, that they can discover for themselves. And it's just as beautiful as whatever that on that itinerary is, but in different parts of Morocco. So,
absolutely, yeah. There is a hidden gems that you can discover. Yeah.
That's why we want to do this episode, to start talking about it. We could do a further episodes too, you know, with a little more detail some of these places, but a bit of an introduction here, an overview.
Yes.
On that note, let's try to go quickly through Rabat, because you've got a few things here. I think within the city, you kind of get the sense there's museums, yes. there's gardens, yes. there's a zoo. Yes. Is there anything particular that stands out if you were to pick maybe one of these things?
I would say the gardens, because it's when people think of Rabat, they don't think of gardens. Last time we visited, we had an amazing tour experience in Rabat, but unfortunately that day, the gardens were closed. I think it was a Monday and they closed on Monday. I could be wrong about the day. We just saw it through the gates. It's beautiful, beautiful. So the gardens are really not expected in Rabat, but it's absolutely worth the visit. So we missed out.
There is also the archaeological. This is the gardens. Near the Kasbah.
The Udaya Kasbah. Up here.
That's right. This is the old Kasbah, the Udaya Kasbah from the 12th century.
Right.
Those
orange trees? Oh, nice. And you can see, go back to the map. So, it's next to the Kasbah. So everything's very close together. On a standard tour, you'd see the Hassan Tower, the mausoleums over here, and then
quick drive
over to the Kasbah area along the waterfront, the ocean, and there's the garden. So that's an easy stop.
It's next to the Kasbah. For example, as you'd say, if you, for example, an overnight in Rabat, you can just, for example, because most of the accommodations in Rabat is just near the Kasbah, where there is the old Medina of Rabat. So you can just, for example, after the city tour of Rabat, you can just hang out and go to the Andalusian Gardens, for example, enjoy a cup of tea, for example, overlooking the ocean and the Abergrag River, which is the river there. River. And overlooking the Sela or Sali, the old Medina of Rabat.
Right, that's over here. It says Rabat
that's
Medina.
Right. The other part, the other part of the river.
They're divided by the river.
Right. So So you can see the list there. I mean, there's a couple of the museums.
Especially Rabat Archaeological Museum, it's very interesting because most of the archaeological stuff that found in Morocco during the last century, they put it all together in that archaeological museum, including from the Romans era, from the old Berbers stuff. Especially, for example, we talk about the stuff they found in Volubilis. They put it there. The old jars from the Phoenicians era, for example, you can find it in that museum of archaeology.
I see. Rabat's the capital, so it's going to have a lot of those museums and kind of national sites, right? It's a great stop if you're interested in those kinds of things. Okay, let's see here. Let's keep heading south. So as I say, we've come from the north and Chefchaouen area, Fez, around there, Rabat. Now we're heading towards Marrakech. So I know there's some interesting sites here, lakes and waterfalls. Lalla Tekker Coast?
Lalla Tekker Coast, yes.
Okay.
All these sites that you have here, they're really, really, really popular amongst the locals. Lalla Tekker Coast, I remember when we were kids, we used to do a yearly day trips through school. Which is a lot of fun. The same thing with the waterfalls Ozod, which is the highest waterfalls I believe in Morocco or in Africa. It is a day trip as well, so it's maybe 4.5 hours one way. So you can see that you need to leave early, then do what you need to do by mid afternoon. You need to head back to Marrakech or wherever you're coming from. So it's but it's a lot of fun. It's definitely worth it.
Hang on, the waterfalls are that far or the lake?
Yes.
No, the dam.
Yeah.
Is that this here then?
Lalla Tekker Coast is a dam.
Okay. But it seems fairly close to Marrakech, right?
It's 45 minutes a drive.
I was talking about the waterfall Ozud. It's farther down. So Lalla Tekker Coast is a little bit closer to Marrakech. Yes.
Okay. So near Agafay. You could be staying at Agafay, I would think, and then stop over at this lake if you wanted.
Also, the way that we travel, for example, we camp more than we stay in hotels or riads and stuff like that. So as kids, teenagers, when we go to those sites, you know, it's just us and nature. So nothing luxury, nothing. Nice. It's just, you know, yeah. So,
and so it's a lot of fun. For the luck, you can, for example, there is a jet ski. You can do a jet ski there.
Yeah.
You can have a lunch on the, there is many restaurants there at the end of the lock. You eat after lock, for example, there, exactly. Mm-hmm. This is a jet ski station there. Yeah, on the other side, there is a restaurant. You can enjoy lunch overlooking the dam or the lake. Okay. Also, you can do like a boucle. It's called a boucle. For example, you can go to Lalatakir Coast, and on your way back to Marrakesh, you can stop on the Agafay Desert. Desert, if you want, for example, to enjoy come ride, for example, or a sunset in the Agafay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that is all pretty close. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I hadn't heard about that lake. Interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That's Usud Waterfalls.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know if we'll be able to find this. It says it's hidden. Let's see.
No, it's really, really popular.
Usud Falls. So, okay.
Yeah, it is very popular site, destination. And you can do a day trip or maybe 2 days.
And that's the one you're saying is like a 4-hour drive from Marrakesh?
Yes. Yeah.
Three hours, especially 3 hours. It's like 171 kilometers from Marrakesh.
Oh, wow.
So it takes 3 hours drive one way, but it's worth a visit. Yeah,
that's beautiful.
There is, there is also wild macaques there. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you miss it in Azra, you can see it in the others, in the other waterfalls.
But in both destinations, they are thieves. Be careful.
Yeah, and there is an activity there in the waterfalls. We can do it a boat trip. Boat trip. Yes.
Okay.
Boat trip. Yeah. Maybe you can see it somewhere. The pictures. Yeah.
Well, let's take a look here. So this gives you some sense. If Marrakesh is over here, so there's the falls. I see.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
It's in the High Atlas Mountains range, yeah.
Right, and it's fairly close to the lake. I know that.
Belouidan, that's right.
That's a different one, yeah. Yeah, that's the third one. Yeah, that's the one. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So let's say here's the Bin Elouidan
yes.
Lake.
Uh huh.
Yes. Yes.
Belouidan.
We've got an episode of this. It's coming up soon when you did a live recording there. You guys stayed
yes,
there.
We did. Right. Yes, we did. Yeah. We were very lucky. In the last tour that we did, we were supposed to stay in Belouidan, then go to Usud Waterfalls as the last day for the tour, then go back to Marrakesh. But unfortunately, when we get to Belouidan, we were just super exhausted, and we couldn't do that additional day in Usud, so we missed it in a way. However, the stay, the experience at Belouidan was just beyond incredible. We were very fortunate. We stayed at, I believe, Widin Resort.
Widin. This is the picture. If you can go back to the pictures. This is the resort. It's called Widin.
Five-star resort. The service, I mean, everything was just beyond what's expected. I mean, I remember the food. The food is just, it's, everything was just above and beyond. I mean, it's definitely, it is, if they say 5-star, it's probably 6 or 7-star.
Because I agree 100%. I give them 7 stars. yes. Yeah.
I mean, I remember the beds. Even a single bed could fit 4 people. I mean, I've never seen any beds that big. This is not king. This is like, it's like too many kings.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, the beds are just wow. It's just beyond incredible.
It's like my room. Yeah, overlooking the lake.
Yes. The sight, the view.
Nice.
Beautiful. And also, this is where the royal family, you know, vacation sometimes when they go to this resort. But they also have private villas a little bit up in the mountains. So this is where we stayed exactly.
That's right. Yeah.
And like Sam said,
this was my room. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Wow.
And you can see the view. I mean, the guests, the management, the owner, they just, we did not expect that hospitality, to be honest with you, because it's just beyond incredible. I mean, I sometimes get really speechless because there's no words to express what I really feel when it comes to the hospitality that we have received from those, you know, the front desk, the management, the restaurant, the staff. You know, it was just beyond incredible. And the place is pretty big, so they'll pick you up if you want to go eat. They'll take you on golf carts to the restaurants. Mm-hmm. They have swimming pools. They have a helicopter. You can do a helicopter ride. You can do boats. You can do jet skis. You can do so many things. And we were lucky enough, and we did a tour. The lake was so nice and so beautiful, so clean.
Yeah.
It was
Maybe not the biggest. It's got to be one of the biggest lakes in Morocco.
It's definitely one of the biggest.
One of the biggest.
Yeah. But in terms of hospitality, this is, you know, like they say, we saved the last for last. This was the top notch service all around.
Cool.
So, and I'm glad we stayed here because, I mean, that experience was just beyond incredible, and we were very lucky. I believe we sent them some clients that they were just over the moon. They just love the place. So these are really the gems when we talk about, you know, places that are really unknown, because the road to the Woodian Hotel, to Billy Widan, as we say, which is the region, it's not a good road. It's kind of rocky. It's kind of hectic, a little bit challenging. But once you get to the resort, you forget everything about that road. But they're working on it. It's going to get better, and it's definitely worth it. So
it sounds like a place that might explode in popularity, you know, in the next
few
years.
Oh, for sure. This place, Billy Widan has always been popular for us locals, even when we were kids. You know, back then we'll have a bicycle, so you know, as kids we'll take the bicycle all the way, and it's very challenging. But then you camp, and it's a lot of fun. But then as adults, and when I came, you know, to here, it was just like, this is mind blowing. So. Yeah.
Okay.
This is the
There is many activities that you can still do around.
Yes.
You can just hike, for example. You can just take a boat and have lunch on a restaurant. By the way, this resort, they have their own private restaurant on the top hills. They are only on a place where you can take a boat, and then they just, you can take the stairs, climb the stairs to see the restaurants. Cool.
Okay, are any of these sites close to there, or are we going off in a different direction?
Okay, when we talk about Ourika Valley, is in the outskirts of Marrakesh. It's a little bit closer to Marrakesh than most of the other destinations. It's really popular in the summertime, and it gets very crowded. Normally, it's about an hour drive, but with the traffic, sometimes it can take you maybe 3 to 4, maybe 5 hours one way. Because it gets really, really popular, especially during the summertime. And when we talk about busy, when we talk about popular, when we talk about hectic, it's two different hectics. There's the touristic areas where full of tourists, and then there's places like this one where they are full of locals, then Moroccans from Europe, than the tourists. So it's kind of a buffet of a lot of people. And it gets really, really hectic sometimes.
This looks like a hiking area.
Yes, yeah. A lot of it is hiking. There's a little bit of, you know, water. There's a small river that runs through the mountains. And there's many places that you can, you know, inside the water, you can be served tea, lunch, everything. But then there's, in Ourika, there's other places that are next to it, you know.
Yes. You can visit the waterfalls. Mm-hmm. It takes like an hour walking to visit the waterfalls. It's a very interesting and a must-see place when you are there. It's called Stefadma Waterfalls. On your way, there is many stops, especially the Berber villages. The way they build the villages is different than the other sites, for example, in Imlil or Wirgan. And you can just enjoy it's like the fields and the villages, the houses, just look like the steeps, you know, the way they build the houses.
Mm.
Imagine yourself wandering through the vibrant streets of Marrakesh, savoring the finest Moroccan cuisine and being mesmerized by the stunning architecture. At Destination Morocco, we take the stress out of planning your exclusive Moroccan getaway. Our travel experts handpick only the most authentic experiences and luxurious accommodations for the ultimate bespoke adventure. This is not your typical budget vacation. This is an experience of a lifetime. Visit destinationsmorocco.com. That's destinations with an S, morocco.com. And start planning your unforgettable Moroccan escape today.
Right, because then I think, not quite as far from there, there's Wirgan Valley, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Wirgan.
I was under this. So that's kind of the same area by the looks of it, kind of. Part of the same mountain range, obviously. These are the high Atlas mountains, but it's a different road. There's
Wirgan. Wirgan's a different road, yes. The Urika is east, and Wirgan is west. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Here you seem to have a bigger lake by the looks of it.
Yeah, there's a lake where they bring the water, the drink water to Marrakesh is from that lake. It's called Wirgan. Yeah. The water we drank right now in Marrakesh, they brought it from there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not famous for tourists, and it's worth a visit. It's worth to stay. There is accommodations. There is many things to do. Especially, you can come. For example, there is for example, you can see there is luxury hotels and riads near the lake. By the way, it's a dam. It's not a lake. It's an artificial dam. There is, for example, nice. You can do like one day. Half day to 2 days to 3 days walking and hiking tours around Wirgan Valley.
Okay.
It's very interesting, yeah.
How far would that be from Marrakesh? Like an hour?
From Marrakesh, 2 hours.
A little bit more. Yeah.
2 hours, yes. Mm-hmm. It's 95 kilometers, but through the mountains.
Yeah. Right. It's a very scenic route.
That slows you down.
Yeah.
And then we have the Zat Valley.
Then before I do, please forgive me, I do apologize.
Yes,
when we talk about outside Marrakesh, we forgot to mention, and this is a little bit more popular during the winter for skiing and ski resorts than the summertime, which is in the same area, you know, in the outskirts of Marrakesh, Okemden.
Ski station, yeah.
Yes, ski resort station. Really, really popular, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, so this one, again, it's a little bit more popular with the locals than with the tourists.
That's a nice
job. This is one of the really, really famous areas. And again, a lot of schools, most schools or all schools in Marrakesh, they do have organized day trips to Okemden during, you know, either February, March, and April, because when snow still there as well. So, and again, this is one of the hidden places that a lot of tourists don't get to see. So if you're talking, you know, like we talked earlier, you know, Ifran, you know, we're talking similarity to Aspen, you know, Colorado, for example, but it's very beautiful, very luxury, and definitely very pricey. Okemden is a little bit more on the low end. It's very casual, not as expensive, but it's still a lot of fun. So I remember as kids going with the family, with school, we always had fun. We always had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's really right out there in the middle of the mountains. Nice.
Yeah, yes. So Marrakesh is just like Fez. Marrakesh, it gets very, very cold during the winter because it's surrounded by the mountains from all four, you know, sides. And that's why, and again, during the summertime, it gets that really, really dry heat. It's because of everything's kind of closed up. So.
I see. Yeah. Okay. And then there's the Zat Valley, which is more to the east.
That's right.
Yes.
On your way towards the Zat. That's right. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Zat Valley is more popular also for tourists, for Moroccans, for locals, especially during the summertime, because it's only 2 hours drive from Marrakesh as well. And it's worth a visit, especially that valley called Zat. Zat Valley. And there is many villages, many restaurants. You can, for example, have a lunch on the river, for example. You can camp. There's local restaurants as well. Also, for example, you can, for example, if you have like 2 days, you can do 2 days, for example, and you can like do 3 hours a hike or walking tour each day, and it's worth a visit. It's a must see destination, mm-hmm. both for tourists as locals.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah, there's quite the valley here. It goes all the way out. So a lot of hiking up in here.
Yes. Yeah. Huh. The advantage of being in Marrakech, there is many and several day trips and activities that you can do for 1 day and come back to Marrakech if you want. For example, you don't want to have an overnight. For example, Imlil is very popular, it's very famous. This is why we didn't talk about it. Right. For example, yeah, but for example, Zat Valley is a hidden place for tourists.
Yeah. If you were to go hiking, then. You know, if you were there in the summer and especially to do some hiking, like the places like Imrit, which we should find here on the map, like does it get really, really busy? You're trying to hike and there's just people all over the path. Like how busy would it get?
It doesn't get busy. I mean, the mountains are big and there's so many options. Imrit is a little bit closer to Marrakesh.
But that's busy. We're trying to keep people away from the busier places.
Yeah. It's very famous. Imlil is famous for tourists as well because it's the starting point for all the trekking tours, including the Mount of Toubkal, which is the highest peak in Morocco. Toubkal, it's 675. Yes. Meters high. And also for a day trip from Marrakech, there is an amazing tour that you can do from Marrakech for 1 day. Also, you can do 2 days, 3 days. This is the best place, for example, if you want to enjoy trekking, you know, in Morocco. This place.
Cool. Well, we're at the top of the hour here. I want to see how much we get through. We didn't get to the Sahara really yet.
This kind of
area is if you're heading out towards like Merzouga area, right?
And
looking for some extra stuff to do. Well, is there any one thing maybe we can talk about before we sign off here? Anything that jumps out?
We have the Kasba Amri Dil inside the oasis of the Palm Grove of Skoura, and also heading south towards the Merzouga desert. We've visited like the mausoleum of Moulay Ali Sherif. Is one of the mausoleums that you can visit in Morocco, by the way, because the others, for example, in Rabat, for tourists, you can't visit it. But for Moulay Ali Sherif, you can visit the mausoleum. By the way, Moulay Ali Sherif is the founder of the Alawite dynasty, which is running Morocco right now. It's the grandfather of the king of Morocco. So the markets of Rissani, why Rissani, for example, it's the old name, it's Sijl Mazza. And used to be one of the oldest places, oldest cities, I can see city in Morocco. Besides, for example, we can talk about Marrakech, we can talk about Fez. But Rissani, for example, Rissani used to be in the past Sijl Mazza, one of the oldest cities in the southern part of Morocco. Why the markets is very interesting because used to be, for example, the meeting of the caravans coming from Sudan, from Chad, from Mali in the past. They brought, for example, salt, gold, and ivory from the southern part, and they meet the other coming from the north, bringing, like, for example, clothes and stuff from the Mediterranean. And they meet there in Rissani, for example. And this is a beautiful gate of the entrance of the city. The markets they were visit or must see. For example, when you are there in the southern part of Morocco. Also, I want to talk about Erfurt. For example, the people are interested in fossils. For example, Erfurt is a must see. And you have to stop there to visit. For example, there is many factories. Where you can find, like, we can talk about millions of years ago the fossils they found in the mines of the fossils in the area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I just want to
These are all quite close together, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I remember the visit when we visited the Khamliya, before the Khamliya village we stopped. You know, it's right there in that small mountain where, you know, the French colonization, they had those mines. And you know, even when we did the episode with Mahmoud, Mohammed, his grandfather worked in those mines. So in those mountains, I mean, in Iraq, you pick, that's a fossil, 100%. Yeah. I mean, you just pick it, you crack it, then you'll see a fossil. So there's abundance of fossils. And then I've seen in museums fossils, you know, 300 million years, sharks we've seen. I mean, it's just beyond incredible. And this is one of the lesser known places that they do not get enough credit. So you can see, you know, in U.S. museums, whether it's in Houston, whether it's D.C., whether it's New York, in London, in the museum, mm-hmm. you'll see fossils from Morocco. And this is the region where they come from. And it's just beyond incredible.
That's right.
It's amazing. So,
So again, if you're staying in Merzouga, then how far would that be from like kind of this area to drive up to Erfurt?
From Merzouga to Erfurt, it's 45 kilometers, less than 1 hour drive. Yeah, for example, from Merzouga to Risani, because it's like it's the meeting point between them. For example, it's only like 25 minutes drive from Risani to Merzouga. And from Risani to Erfurt, it's 20 minutes drive. It's less than 16 kilometers. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I bet a lot of people just kind of drive through on their way and they don't stop, right?
So they don't.
The roads are good. Yeah. The road is good nowadays. In the past, it was an off-road. But now it's asphalt road, so it's good. Yeah.
And by the way, some of the oldest dinosaurs in the world were found in Morocco. The oldest skull was found in Morocco a few years ago. So, you know,
in
when we talk about So when we talk about history, we're talking thousands and thousands and thousands of layers of history. So there's different regions, you know, in the outskirts of Agadir, Tafraout, Teredent. There's so many archaeological sites that are just as incredible. So in Morocco, when it comes to hidden gems, they're everywhere. You'll pass by them, you don't see them. And again, you know, this is for the people that travel to Morocco on their own. You will have a lot of fun, but you will miss 95% of the real Morocco for real. It's still going to be a lot of fun to you. And that's the benefit of, you know, hiring somebody. This is what we do. This is who we are. We do this 24/7, years and years and years. You'll get to experience Morocco like you have never seen before. You will live with memories that will last you a lifetime.
We are here to design some unique and exceptional experiences and exceptional tours and trips in Morocco, which is not available with the other companies or the other two operators.
Yeah.
Because we as locals, we are natives, and we know what we are doing.
Absolutely.
That's what you guys are good at. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, maybe we'll leave it at that. Yeah, that was fun. So we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
You have traveled the world, but Morocco's allure beckons you. Destination Morocco is here to create the perfect once-in-a-lifetime Moroccan journey, tailored exclusively to your desires. Let us craft an itinerary that unlocks the secrets of this mesmerizing land just for you. For a luxurious, bespoke Moroccan adventure of a lifetime, visit destinationsmorocco.com. That's destinations with an S, morocco.com. And let us turn your dreams into reality. Your amazing Moroccan experience awaits.